Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning into my podcast, Keeping the Real with Caramel, as we say 100. I am Caramel Lucas, and I have a wonderful guest coming on. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
I am great. I am so glad you took time out to talk to me. This is going to be super awesome because we have a lot to talk about.
Well, we'll do our best.
All right. So, Michael, you are one of the best authors. You're the one best-selling author of Thunderdog. Dun, dun, dun. So, tell us about Thunderdog.
Thunderdog is a title actually that the publisher chose, Thomas Nelson, which is now part of HarperCollins. I wanted to call the book originally Forward because that's the basic first command you learn working with a guide dog. Yes, I happen to be blind and have been blind my whole life. They liked Thunderdog better. They convinced me to try it, and that's what stuck. And the book in its first week out was a New York Times bestseller, and then it became a number one New York Times bestseller. So I can't really argue too much with the marketing folks over at HarperCollins, Thomas Nelson.
You're right, you can't, because it's the number one seller. So tell us a little bit more about the book.
So the book is a little bit about my life, and it also includes the story of my fifth guide dog, Roselle, and me. As we worked in the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001, and so we tell the story of that day. The way the book is laid out, every chapter starts with something from September 11th, and then we transition back to other things in my life that kind of relate to what we were going through at that particular time in the book on September 11th. And then at the end of the chapter, we come back to September 11th and go on to the next chapter. But it tells my story of being in the World Trade Center. I was the Mid-Atlantic Region Sales Manager for a computer company, Quantum Corporation. And we were on the 78th floor of Tower 1 in our offices that day, getting ready to conduct some sales seminars, teaching some of our partners how to sell our products when, obviously, the world changed forever.
You're right about that. I remember that, you know, and I felt like, what's going on? You know, what's going on in the world, you know, and a lot of people lost their lives. So you was in one of those buildings.
We were on the 78th floor of the North Tower, Tower 1. Where were you that day?
I was in Florida, Jacksonville. So I was looking at the news and all this stuff, and I was just wondering. I was like sitting there just crying because I felt so sorry for everybody, you know, because New York was like a chaos, you know, and it was just so much going on, and I felt so like I'm so glad that you're here talking to me, honestly, you know, and.
Well, thank you. I'm pretty glad myself.
I mean, yeah, because, you know, it's just crazy to me. I think I was, I can't tell, if I tell you how old I was back then you know how old I am now. So I can't tell you that on air. No.
Oh, sure you can. Be honest.
No, I think I was like 24. 24, 25, something like that. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, so yeah, that was heartbreaking. And so...
Well, you know, what's really interesting is, and it took a little time to get used to, but we now have a whole generation of kids who have no memories of that at all. Remember, it's now 21 and a half, almost 21. So it's 20 and a half, almost 21 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So... even kids who were born 2 and 3 years before, maybe 4 years before, really don't have any kind of a memory of that day. So if you go back to, let's say, 1998, just to make it easy, you know, now we're talking about 24 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and when people were born on that day, they don't have any memory of it at all. So it's history.
Yeah, it's very much history. And so what made you decide that you was going to write about, you know, the underdog? Like, what made you, like, say, hey, I know you say you wanted to call it a different name, but what made you say, like, I need to tell this story?
Well, the originally, I wanted to tell the story because I wanted people to learn something about what blindness is like.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to tell the story, but it really started because somebody else suggested that I should write the book. So we started working on it. One agent that we talked with said, well, this should be a business book and teach business lessons. And I said, no, it's got to be more general than that, because I knew that people in general don't understand anything about blindness. They think that if a person is blind, it's the end of the world. It's a tragedy. You can't ever be as good as us. And that's evidenced by the fact that the unemployment rate among employable blind people in this country is close to 70%. That's 70%. And it's not that blind people can't work, it's that people who can see think we can't work. And they think that eyesight's the only game in town. So I wanted to really tell a story that would get people to maybe think a little bit about the fact that blindness isn't what they think it is. So we didn't write it as a business book. And then I happened to meet Susie Florey, who is a professional author, in 2010. And she said, you should write a book and I'll help. And so the two of us collaborated and wrote Thunderdog, and the rest is, as they say, history.
And I'm glad that she helped you, because look where you are now, you know, and that's great. And then, like you said, people don't understand blindness. You know, they felt like that, like you said before, like if you tell someone that you're blind, they'll look at you like, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. But like you said, look what you're doing. You know, you're proving a statement. You're proving something to someone, saying that just because you're blind or disabled or whatever it is, you still can do it.
Well, they cop out by saying, but you're the exception. Most blind people can't do that. Look, you know, the reality is that all of you who have eyesight are also people with just as much of a disability as I have. None of you can do anything in the dark, certainly not easily. Thomas Edison invented the electric light bulb to give you a way to be able to function when the sun wasn't shining. Why is that any different than me using different technologies and other tools simply because I happen to be blind? Blindness isn't the problem. We all have challenges, we all have disabilities, and we all ought to recognize that just because somebody is different than we are, it doesn't mean that we're less capable.
Right.
If you look at the Academy Awards, and we did have a deaf person and a movie about deaf people win this past Academy Award and Best Picture, and that's great. But diversity, when you talk about diversity in Hollywood, when you talk about diversity in our country, you don't hear people talking about those with disabilities. You hear about gender, race, sexual orientation, and so on. No one talks about disabilities because people fear it. But the reality is that we are just as much a part of society as anyone else. And now we're hearing more and more people talk about inclusion as opposed to diversity, and they want to try to go the same route. Well, they can't do that. The definition doesn't allow it. Either you're inclusive or you're not. And if you're inclusive, you include persons with disabilities. And if you're not doing that, you're not inclusive, and it's that simple.
Go ahead, Michael. Facts, facts, facts.
So, you know, it's as simple as that.
Right, and you explained it very well, you know, and everything you're saying is facts. And you're right, we cannot walk in the dark, you know what I mean? We have, like, if it's dark, we have to come in the light to see what we're doing, you know?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So that's your problem. It's not mine.
Exactly, because we depend on things like that. You know what I mean? You don't have to depend on that because you don't need it. You know, you don't have it. So the people that we do see, we depend on the light, the sunlight, the daylight, the lamps, and all that, so we can see. You know, And we get scared when it gets dark. I know I do. Anyway, yeah, I got to cut on the light ASAP. But, you know. And so I totally agree. So was you blind all your life?
Yeah, I've been blind my whole life.
Okay. And so it was, so as you was growing up, it was kind of hard for you until you got like a grasp of everything that, you know, of everything.
Well, no harder for me growing up than you.
Right.
You know, we all learn with what we have. I was very fortunate that I had parents who chose to believe that I could grow up to do whatever I want. In fact, when it was discovered that I was blind, the doctors told my parents to send me to a home because no blind child could ever grow up to contribute anything in society. And my parents said, "You're wrong. He'll grow up to do whatever he wants, and we're going to give him that opportunity." And they stuck to their word.
Oh, gosh. Bless your parents. They believed in you 100%, and that's super awesome. You know, and these days, or, you know, a lot of parents doesn't guide their kids, you know, to be the best that they can be. And your parents is like, this is super great. My son's going to do whatever. He's going to be the best, and he's going to be the best at whatever he does.
He'll be the best that he can be, and that's what we should expect from everyone. And we should hold people to that kind of a standard in a way that makes them feel comfortable to try and to succeed.
True indeed. And so I, you know, was reading your bio, and you like cooking. So are you a good cook?
Well, it depends on who you ask and when. I think I'm pretty good at it. I do the desserts. I do make a mean chocolate chip cookie and homemade ice cream without any great difficulty, thank you very much. And now I probably do most of the cooking around home. We use the barbecue a bunch, but not just the barbecue. I do a lot of the cooking in the house. My wife is a person in a wheelchair. She's been in a chair her whole life. She also has some rheumatoid arthritis, which makes it really painful for her to do a lot of the things that she used to do, so I get to do the cooking. So it's well enough to keep us alive, at least, so I hope it's pretty good.
She hasn't
complained too much about me.
I don't think she will, because you're an awesome guy, you know, and it's just like, you seem like a very, like, caring person, you know, and, like, you are who you are, you know. And so if someone want to buy your book, where can they find your book?
Anywhere books are sold. So it is in print from HarperCollins, so they can go to anywhere from Amazon to their local bookstore to Barnes & Noble, wherever they want to get Thunderdog. We also have another book called Running with Roselle, which was written more for kids, although more adults buy it than children. But Running with Roselle is a little bit more about my life growing up as a blind person and Roselle growing up as a dog that became a guide dog. So those two stories are told, and then the two come together, of course, when we met. And that is available also on Amazon and can be ordered in places.
What advice will you give someone if they had a disabled, like they wanted to do something, but people kept telling them they can't do it? What kind of advice will you give them?
Go ahead and do it. If you need to, challenge people and say, why not? And here's the best advice I can give. People with blindness who happen to be blind or who happen to have other disabilities, we have what I call a perceived liability. People perceive being blind as a problem. People perceive as being in a wheelchair or deaf or hard of hearing as a problem. It's all in the perception. So what we need to do is to turn perceived liabilities into assets. Change the tone, change the discussion. And that's what we mostly need to do more than anything else. I applied for a sales job once when we debated about should I say that I'm blind in the cover letter for the resume or not. And I finally decided, actually, Karen, my wife, reminded me of the concept of term perceived liabilities and assets that I always talk about. It's a great sales tool. And so she reminded me of that, and I went and wrote a cover letter. And what I said in the cover letter was, the most important thing that you need to know about me is that I happen to be blind, because as a blind person, I've had to sell all my life just to be able to succeed. I've had to sell to convince people to let me buy a house or rent an apartment, take my guide dog on an airplane, because a lot of this happened prior to the Americans with Disabilities Act. And then the second paragraph there said, so when you're hiring someone, do you want to hire somebody who just comes in for 8 or 10 hours a day and sells and then goes home because the job is done? Or do you want to hire somebody who truly understands that sales, the science and art of selling and sales, and who sells as a way of life 24 hours a day? Turn perceived liabilities into assets. Makes it a lot harder to argue. So my belief is that you confront it head on, whatever the situation is. And don't be afraid of who you are just because you're different than a lot of other people. So we have to be creative. We have to get people to recognize that their conceptions or misconceptions about us are not correct. And we can do that.
That is true. Oh, my God. You're so amazing. Oh, yeah. Hugs, hugs in the air. Hugs, hugs in the air. You give my hugs in the air. You got them. Cool. So, so awesome. So are you on any kind of social media, or what is your website?
Yeah, we're all over the place. Website, well, two sites I'll give you. One is my website, michaelhingson.com, michaelhingson.com. And we also have our own podcast called Unstoppable Mindset, where inclusion, diversity, and the unexpected meet. And so people can find that wherever they're finding podcasts, whether it's through my site, through any other place, but they can go to michaelhingson.com/podcast and see all the episodes. Our 40th episode, we started it in September of last year, so the 40th episode is coming out on Wednesday, but they can find it anywhere podcasts are available, so we urge people to do that. The other website I want to tell people about when we talk about accessibility and so on is a company that I work with called Accessibe, A-C-C-E-S-S-I-B-E. Part of the problem that we face today as people with disabilities is that only about 2% of all the websites created in the world are created with all of the appropriate codes and so on to make them accessible, so that links are properly labeled, so I know what a link is, pictures are described, and so on. Accessibe is a company that makes products that help make websites more accessible. And I am now the Chief Vision Officer for Accessibe, and my job is to help people understand the value of what Accessibe does. It was a company that started in 2018 in Israel because three guys 3 years before had started a company just to make websites. And then Israel came along in 2017 and said, any website in Israel must be accessible. So these guys had to figure out how to make all their customers' websites accessible. And they did. They came up with some pretty intelligent products. So if people go to www.accessibe.com, they can learn about it, and they can even run an audit to see how accessible their own website is, and that's for free. And the products that Accessibe has are also extremely inexpensive. So there's no excuse for anyone not making websites accessible. And it's the right thing to do. Because if you happen to be a person with a disability, we can spend hours trying to find a website that we can use because most people don't make them usable. So Accessibe addresses a lot of that, and now today has over 150,000 customers around the world, and more join Accessibe's family every day. And they also see how their websites become more inclusive. And the reason that that's important is if somebody makes their website accessible and somebody who happens to have a disability, say being blind, discovers it, we're going to go back to that website time and time again if it has products that we want, because then we don't have to go and search and go through all the problems of finding a website that we can use. Brand loyalty counts for a lot, and when websites are inclusive, counts for a whole lot more.
That is, oh gosh, you got a lot going on. Oh my God, that is so good. Like, you know what? I give you the utmost respect, and just continue doing what you're doing because you're doing such a great job. You have a lot
Well, the
going
other thing
on.
that I get to do, the other thing that I get to do, and it started right after September 11th, is that people invited me to come and speak and tell the September 11th story, but also discuss lessons of trust and teamwork, lessons we should learn from September 11th, and, you know, now lessons we should learn from the pandemic, how we survive those kinds of things, how we create a mindset that helps us survive. So if anyone needs a speaker, they can go to michaelhinkson.com and there's a contact form there. Would love to talk with them and see how we can help at any kind of events or organizations that they might have a need to have a speaker for, and we'd be glad to come.
That is super awesome. You're a man of all trades. Okay? There's nothing stopping you. There's nothing stopping you. You're doing everything. Like, you're doing so much, and so there's no excuse for anyone. That's how I feel. If you really want to
Well,
do
there
it,
isn't
you
an
should go
excuse,
for
you
it.
know. We all have challenges. We all have things we can't do. But we all have lots that we can do. And why should we be singled out if there's something that somebody does that we can't do? How many people understand a lot about the quantum theory and physics and higher level partial differential equations and all the things related to calculus and mathematics and so on? My master's degree is in physics, and I dare say there are a lot of people probably listening to this podcast who don't know nothing about physics, and that's okay. Their talents lie elsewhere.
Right. Very right. You speak knowledge. You're very knowledgeable. Like, everything you're speaking is knowledge and facts and true. You're keeping it 100. Okay. So, awesome. So I just want to say thank you for being up here with me and just keep doing what you're doing, and you're doing such a great job of what you're doing. And definitely, listeners, if you need a motivated speaker, Michael is the one. Please go to his website. Everything will be on his bio, on the podcast, and you can contact him through his website. And if you need any advice or you're going through something, he's willing to talk to you or speak at your events. So, Michael, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking time out with me. And I love your voice message. I have to say that. Like, I love it. It was so super awesome. I never heard
Well,
anything like that
thank
before,
you.
and I mean, that was great.
That the audio is part of my speaker video introduction, and somebody once said before we did that, when I just said the usual, "Hi, this is Mike Kingston, leave your name and number at the tone and I'll call you back," they said, "That's boring." So I decided, all right, I'll give you something that's not boring, and that's what we did. And thank you for saying that people can reach out. If they do, I will respond. So I definitely always feel it necessary to respond to emails and so on that come through the contact forms and so on. So you definitely will hear from me if you do write. Or you can go and find us on LinkedIn. We're there, Facebook. But I tend not to respond as much to Facebook messages just because they have some other challenges. But if people send a message on LinkedIn, they're welcome to connect on LinkedIn. And also, if they just send a message, I will respond to that as well.
You're so right when you say that they have some challenges on Facebook, because they definitely have some challenges. Okay, because I've been going through some challenges already. You know what I mean? So definitely understand what you're talking about. But I want to say again, thank you for being up here with me, and God bless you, and keep doing what you're doing, and you're doing such an awesome job. And I might have to book you one time to come speak for me, at my one of my
Well,
events that I do. So I'm gonna keep in contact with you, and yeah, you're super awesome, and I can't wait. So whenever I have event coming up, I'll let you know the dates like way ahead of time, see if you be able to come and speak to some people for me. That would be super awesome. But again, thank you so much for taking time out with me.
thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right, you take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.